The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. John E. Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money, managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you create better financial habits, envision your long-term goals, and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of John E. Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners Spencer Hager and Cole Hammack. Many people don't realize that they're eligible for Roth IRA benefits. This is a really interesting topic for me. I did not know these existed, so I'm kind of excited about it. Today, we're going to explore strategies like the backdoor and mega backdoor Roths to help you access Roth accounts and maximize your retirement savings. So my first question is, I guess we should tell people, what are they? I mean, I'm used to hearing Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. So let's go into the explanation of what these are.
Yeah, so just a kind of face level, what's a backdoor Roth? What's a mega backdoor Roth?
Yep.
So a backdoor Roth, essentially the reason that would be relevant is if you make too much money and can't directly contribute to a Roth IRA, it's a way for you to shift funds in a traditional IRA over to that same Roth IRA. So you're able to get that money in by way of a backdoor. So it's a little convoluted, but that's just the way the tax law is set up.
I did not know that there was an income ceiling.
Yeah, so it shifts every year just with inflation. It's a little over $200,000 now. There's no point doing a specific number just because that's going to scale. But
we don't like that anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So when you're kind of in that threshold, households making over 200 grand, that's something to be aware of. We might be phased out from making direct Roths. That backdoor Roth becomes relevant.
Okay. What about the mega backdoor?
It's just a little bit. Generally, when people bring that up, it's within like 401k. So it gets a little bit convoluted here. But high level view, like going back to 401k or IRA side. So the IRAs, you've got your traditional and you've got a Roth. The traditional is more if you want to put in pre-tax money and get hopefully a tax write-off. Again, depends on your income level. Roth, you put it in, it grows tax-free. Pretty straightforward. 401k is the same way. You're limited on how much you can put in generally depending on your age. If you're under 50, it's $23,500 this year. And so you can put it in pre-tax and you get a write-off, or you put it in Roth and it just grows tax-free and you don't really have to worry about your income. If you want to put in, if you're capable of putting in money above and beyond that $23,500, it's called after-tax contributions. Not every 401k lets you do it. And then from there, when people say mega backdoor Roth, this after-tax bucket, the money you contribute, and this is kind of in the weeds, but the money you contribute is never taxed, but the earnings on those contributions does get taxed in the future.
So annually or at the end?
When you pull it out. Wow. And so what you can do is do this mega backdoor Roth and take all that after-tax money and the contributions that were growing and then would be taxed, and you just move it all into a Roth. You pay taxes at the end, but it's technically a way that you can make this massive Roth bucket. There's some other options, I'm sure we'll get into it, but that's high level.
What's the is the average person have knowledge about this, or is this something that you have to bring up to people as part of the strategy for financial planning?
They may have heard the term, but I'd be surprised if they understood really the logistics behind it. It's often what we see.
What are some of the misconceptions about the backdoor specifically, like the process?
I think that the misconception probably primarily on its face is just that you can't do it. So most people can. It's just what are the actual trade-offs, or what would be the expectations from a tax perspective if you were to complete that Roth conversion?
Okay. So from my knowledge, question for you relative to the difference in the beneficiary assignment. Are they different from a Roth? So when you can assign per stirpees, right? Can you do that the same way with these type of accounts?
Yeah, so that's any account generally, you can do that if there's a beneficiary option. So an IRA is still an IRA, 401k is still 401k, so you'd still be able to have those same beneficiary designations. So fortunately, that wouldn't be some concern. But if you do need to set up a separate account, so the idea is like if you're doing that backdoor Roth and you need to set up a traditional IRA to start that process, or you need to set up a Roth IRA to do the conversion part, then you want to make sure that that new account that you set up has those same beneficiaries. So you have to pay attention to that piece, but you can still do it.
Yeah, I guess to your point, though, because I guess we take it for granted. If you're someone listening to this and you have no idea what this is, it is just still like a regular old traditional IRA and a Roth IRA. It's not like you have to set something up called
type,
like a backdoor Roth IRA.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So I'm very literal. So I assumed that this was an account type. Yeah, I'm glad. Thanks for clarifying that.
And so again, like to whoever didn't catch it in the initial part, if your income's under that threshold where you can't put in money to the Roth directly, like if you're under that threshold, backdoor is completely irrelevant to you. Mm-hmm. This is only something for people who
high income earners.
You make too much money to put in directly, so you got to try and get creative with putting the money in. But it's still
and it can work in tandem with the 401k or
absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So other saving strategies, it just becomes part of the actual plan for retirement savings.
Yeah, and I'd say that's not a misconception, your question, but that's like just a practical consideration when we're talking about this. If you're someone who has a 401k and the investments are good and you're contributing to that through payroll and you can do Roth or pre-tax, like I said, and you don't have enough excess cash flow where you need to do an IRA in addition, like you may not need to do the backdoor Roth if you've got a 401k that you can already put Roth money in, because that doesn't look at your income. In theory, you can make $500,000 a year and do your Roth 401k. Yeah.
Okay. This is actually a researched question, not a Tracy question. So I'm going to put that disclaimer out there.
It'll be less fun then.
And let's see. Well, you never know. The pro rata rule. So what is pro rata, first of all?
Yeah. So this is very important when thinking. This one's larger than the topic, more of a Roth conversion, in part kind of backdoor Roth. But the idea being, I was thinking about this one ahead of time, so just to use some easy numbers. All right. I know you hate numbers, so it's not going to be super specific.
Okay. I think it's good to give people some visual context to a degree, though.
All
just
right.
An example.
Let's say in a traditional IRA, we have $93,000. Okay?
It's an odd number.
It'll make sense. Okay. And then the contribution limit this year for an IRA is $7,000. Mm-hmm. All right? So we make a $7,000 contribution to our IRA. But let's say we want to do that backdoor Roth, right? That's the whole process here. We'd want to do that Roth conversion. We're contributing seven. We want to convert seven. When we contribute seven to that IRA, we now have $100,000. Mm-hmm. $93,000 pre-tax. $7,000 of this new money would be considered after-tax, mm-hmm. or wanting the target. So when we do that conversion, then 93% of that conversion would be taxable. That's the pro rata part. Only 7% of that conversion would be tax-free.
Wow. Okay.
So they're looking at all of your pre-tax money outside of 401k, so just IRA pre-tax money as part of that formula to say how much of that Roth conversion or how much of that backdoor Roth is going to be taxable.
So this is – how does somebody determine if that rule is going to negatively impact? Is that a CPA conversation or a CFP conversation? Or both.
Safe answers. Yeah, both. Yeah. I guess you could say CPA. But I think to Cole's point, just if you have other pre-tax IRAs, and I guess without us explaining what each one is, but if you have a SEP IRA or a simple IRA mm-hmm. or a traditional IRA, and if you have any of those and they have a balance and it went in pre-tax, which for a simple and a SEP, it probably definitely did, then it applies to you. And again, doesn't mean it's not a good idea, but it's something where you're going to be impacted and you have to back into what the tax implication is going to be.
Okay. At what income level does a backdoor Roth kind of stop being beneficial compared to other strategies?
I think it's always relevant. Yeah, because the idea is if the alternative is...
I mean, you have to start putting it on your radar at a certain point if your income is increasing, obviously.
I think it's more on the floor side. Like once you pass that threshold, it's relevant. And then like Cole was starting to say, past that point, it doesn't matter if you're $300,000 and it applies to you or you make $1 million a year and it applies to you. There's not a ceiling where it becomes irrelevant.
Yeah, still a great strategy.
This might be a dumb question, but what happens if you are at the income threshold, and you're not really paying attention and you're continuing to make contributions and you don't catch it, what happens to that money? Are you penalized for it?
You would be. Yeah. So essentially the idea is you would need to.
That was a Tracy question, by the way.
That's a great question. Yeah, you would need to back out the excess. You would. So what it's called is you recharacterize.
Do you need a pat on the back for that?
I know. I do.
You've earned it.
Hey, I have earned it.
You've earned
it.
The way you asked that question was just incredible.
Yes. Give it to me. I've earned it.
I've never been more proud. You do what's called, it's again, more jargon, but you do a recharacterization from the Roth to a traditional IRA. And then from there, you can reconvert it to go back to the Roth IRA. So again, it's convoluted, but if you go into that Roth directly and your income's too high, you weren't supposed to, and then they can charge a penalty to do that.
So pay attention.
Yeah, yes. If you think you're in jeopardy of hitting that, I'd say wait until, because with IRA contributions, you have until, like for 2025 tax year, you have until April 15th, 2026. And so if you think you may go over the limit, but you're not sure, wait until you get into the new year, you see what your income is officially, and then you can still make the contribution before filing time, but you don't have to deal with all that headache.
And that sounds like something that you seek the professionals' help with. I can't even imagine trying to manage that on my own.
Yeah.
You've kind of stepped into this question, but are there any other common mistakes that people make when they're kind of attempting to put the backdoor Roth conversion together?
I think maybe in part on the mega backdoor piece, so within the 401k. So not every employer allows for you to do the option of an in-plan Roth conversion. So the idea where you're, Spencer, to your point earlier, contributing after-tax money, but earnings would grow tax-deferred. So when you take out those distributions, that earning would be taxable to you. If you do that in-plan conversion, then none of it would be taxable. But if that conversion part isn't available or if there's an option to select and it's overlooked, then we could be creating a tax bill down the line that maybe just weren't prepared for or aware of.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a big one. Would you say the mega backdoor Roth would be considered an employee benefit at some point if an employer doesn't have one in place?
I'd say being able to put in after-tax money in general is an employee benefit.
How does somebody advocate for that? How would you recommend they advocate other than just the suggestion box? Is there a bullet point list to give people why it would be great consideration for a company to offer?
That's probably the best way to do it. I mean, thankfully, most of these employers that know that they have high income earners that this apply to, I'm seeing them adapt it more or adopt it rather. So there's that. But yeah, if you can, throw your sway a little bit and enough people start to say, hey, this would be a great benefit, that would help you. And then if you're someone who you're self-employed and you have your own 401k set up, it's a matter of just evaluating the different options out there and trying to find one that gives you that option. Some won't let you do it, like some custodians like Schwab Fidelity, they don't let you even if you wanted it.
My next question. Yeah, where do you go? Okay.
Shop around. Yeah. I mean, each person's going to be different, each business, but there are some options out there depending on what your arrangements are.
The idea is if you don't ask, it's automatically a no. So you have nothing to lose by asking.
Okay. Another planned question. What are the long-term implications of keeping funds in an employer-sponsored Roth 401k versus rolling them into a Roth IRA?
It really comes down, I guess, to the investment options and the 401k and any admin fees on the other side of it.
Yeah, I'd say the age distribution difference would be if you're in the 401k and it's a Roth, you're capped at the age 55. So unless there's some exceptions out there that we probably won't go into on the show, but
good not to. Yep.
Until you reach age 55, if you take the money out, you'll get hit with the penalty. With a Roth IRA, the money you contribute into it, you can take out whenever, again, like check this with your CPA, whoever's doing your tax, but you can take it out penalty free, no taxes owed. You have to be careful with the earnings. So again, if you put in $7,000, it grows to 10. You could take out the 7. Don't touch the 3. If you touch that before it's been in the account for 5 years and you're over age 59 and a half, then you'll get hit.
Oh, so there are time deadline. There are time restrictions.
Yeah, but in theory, the IRA, you can tap your contributions. The 401k, it's locked away, but the benefit of the 401k is they don't look at your income threshold.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a couple of points for high-income professionals and executives specifically, bypassing Roth income limits. What are the main benefits of Roth accounts for high-income earners compared to a traditional tax-deferred strategy?
Yeah, so I guess
I see you guys getting all excited.
Kind of
about
setting the expectations on where are you going to be in retirement. So the idea is Roth. The key benefit is we're taking that money out tax free, right? Versus that pre-tax, we save taxes on the front end, but we're going to pay taxes on those distributions in the future. So picture someone that's in the 37% tax bracket. So that's the highest marginal tax bracket right now, living in a high income tax state like a California, where I think that top bracket's 13%. The idea being you could take those distributions out in retirement, you're effectively saving, what, 50% on the back end at the highest marginal limit on your taxes. So it just creates so much flexibility by doing that.
I think practically too, like if you're in that top income tax bracket, you're probably filling up all your pre-tax options and then it's what do I do with the rest? And mm-hmm. so if you could do the backdoor Roth in mm-hmm. addition, you're getting the best of both worlds. Because again, like I said, you may only be able to do the $23,500 into your 401k. You do that pre-tax, great. Maybe you fill up a health savings account, get a write-off, and it's like, okay, I've got $30,000 I want to save. What do I do with it? If you could carve off seven, put it into a bucket that grows tax-free in addition, that's great, and you're getting best of both worlds.
But what's the playbook for this? I mean, how does somebody sequence their contributions for something like this and their conversions, I guess, to make sure they're compliant and they're not missing something?
It might be a deeper conversation than a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just say, as long as you're putting it into the traditional and then converting it to the Roth, if you're doing the backdoor, that's the main piece. Make sure you don't get hit with the pro rata. And then I think past that, it's more just what's easiest logistically and things like that. Are you doing it yourself? Are you working with an advisor who's going to help you with it? But outside of that, I don't think there's too much more to add.
I know a lot of these accounts are part of people's estate plans. How does a Roth strategy kind of – how could it be used as an estate planning tool, I guess, is the better question.
Yeah, that one's good too. So the idea that the beneficiary won't have to pay taxes on those distributions as well. So it maintains that Roth status. Based on the current law, they still have to take those distributions out over 10 years, but they have a lot more flexibility in that sense where they don't have to worry about a looming tax bill. So depending on comfort, CPA, can even just wait until year 10, have all that tax deferred growth, and then pull out that Roth money. That'd be a huge home run possibly.
No, agreed.
Fantastic. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for tuning in. Maximize your Roth opportunities and keep up the good work. We appreciate your time. Don't forget to share with your friends, and we'll catch you on the next topic.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Managing to Be Wealthy podcast. We help you make the most of your money without any hidden fees or commissions. Remember, the best investment you can make is in yourself and your financial future. Keep listening for more expert advice and tips. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. To schedule a 1-hour complimentary consultation to discuss your financial concerns, visit our website, managingtobewealthy.com.